JG 2.
Number 13A.
All right, so therefore, that whole ideal of principle itself, always the whole, this we know that we never, when we touch a part, we always touch the whole, and that's what this law is showing us, that when that whole principle, therefore, comes forth, it always brings forth out of that whole principle the individual truth, the specific truth, the individualized idea, which at the point of love is always adapted to meet a specific need and to be the comforter within the situation. And this is therefore really that which is behind showing that every idea is a holographic idea. That when you touch that idea, you touch the infinite one. Showing that that principle can never translate itself as a part, but always as the whole. That's why the accentuation is on truth, life, and love in this law of individualization and specification going on. So this is such a powerful law. And it's a powerful law insofar as I mentioned that in philosophy, for a long time, they were always looking for the one and the many and to somehow tie that together. And this law of individualization and specification naturally answers that question as we've seen. That whole, the whole truth, the truth of all truths, the Christ consciousness can, through life, infinitely individualize itself as a specific truth, as an individual Christ consciousness, which at the point of love is adapted to a specific situation, yet still remaining that whole principle. So we saw, when we saw that the universe on Divine Science was a divinely holographic universe, always expressing the whole. So every individual idea now is a divinely holographic idea, always expressing the whole in quality, we know, but not in quantity. So that, therefore, that is the law, and now we consciousness build with that law, seeing that our identity, therefore, is this law in expression. And I think we see now how wonderful this is, where we can see that out of that matrix of immortality and in our consciousness building, always take our consciousness back to its origin, back to its initial condition, back to its source, which is the law of the level of science itself, back to that law of infinite self-reflection, back to the one ego, the I am that I am, that principle being its own infinite principle that always maintains its infinite withinness. And therefore, that principle being its own infinite principle is always restructuring itself in the law of self-reflection. And out of it always now comes a new idea because of its reflection, coming at Divine Science out of the source of principle itself, through the channel of principle itself. The outcome is always as principle itself, for the glory of principle itself. And therefore, at the point of Absolute Christian Science, we see therefore that that comes forth as an individual expression. And so we see therefore we have come out of that source as an individual expression of the principle at the word of Absolute Christian Science, as the creative urge, drive, pioneer ourself, always right truth, and always goal causality. Always our life is right within the plan. And therefore here we would say about our conscious individuality, therefore we are always there for the whole expression of the principle itself, the ideal of that principle, that whole ideal Christ consciousness. But we are that whole Christ consciousness, infinitely individualized as an individual Christ consciousness, called, you could say, Christ Louisa or Christ Gail or Christ Janice or Christ Richard, Christ, always we can put in front of our name as Jesus did, Christ Jesus, because he was the individual Christ consciousness at the point, which was a comforter and met the need of the situation. So we all are that Christ consciousness, infinitely individualized and adapted to a situation, being a universal blessing. Each one is a universal blessing. Each one of us is a universal blessing. And this law says that we are a unique individual universal blessing. That's why the life is there. The truth says we are that whole Christ consciousness, and life says individualized in a unique way, and love adapted to be a universal blessing. So we find ourselves as a scientific truth within being. We know then that Max's Kapler's new book let out called Truth and Scientific Truth shows that we're not just an isolated truth, but we're a scientific truth. That a truth only becomes a truth when it's seen within the whole structure of something. And therefore, we're not just an isolated truth, but we're a scientific truth. We find our place value within the whole structure of being. We have come forth as a fact, infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation as a unique individual idea within the plan that nobody else can fulfill our job, fulfill our mission. Nobody else can do what we do. See, this is that law of individualization, that law of specification, adapted to a situation. This handles the claim of mysticism, because in mysticism, it's the belief that the individual is sucked up into the undifferentiated whole. And on the level of science itself, for example, we would lose our individuality in just a state of bliss consciousness. It wouldn't, that there would be no differentiation going on there. It would just be consciousness blissed out for eternity. But that isn't science. Science always has to do with differentiation, always. And so, therefore, we see that mysticism is such that one is sucked up into the union mystico. But science shows that within principle itself, that principle includes its idea. Where in mysticism, it shows that it's just a union mystico where there's no differentiation. Kind of a blank, big circle blank, where science shows a structure to that system, place value in the system. So within principle itself, which includes its idea, on divine science we see it includes a universal idea. On absolute Christian science, it includes its individual idea, that principle appears as a universe and as individual idea, yet still remaining principle forever and ever. This is what's going on within principle. We have never left the integrity of principle, the infinite withinness of principle, as we've seen on the science level. Can we see that? It's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, it's just so great. Because it's the answer to the fears, this level of specification of mysticism, that one wouldn't want to get involved in such a subject that says ultimately that law of translatability, when principle has sought the principle in us and the law of translation and retranslation has occurred, when our nature is like God's nature, that we are then just on the level of science itself to spiral higher and higher from a boundless basis The concern is always that one loses one's individuality. See? Isn't it? And yet, Mrs. Eddy says, no, no, mutating away from time and space, you don't lose our individuality. We only gain a diviner form of that individuality, a diviner explanation of that individuality. A diviner form. Yet it's always maintained. And so these levels show what is going on within principle, and that within principle there is always infinite individuality. We never lose that. We only gain, as I said, a diviner understanding of that infinite individuality that we are. Hence, we're not studying mysticism, but science. So you can see, because this we always stay within the integrity of principle, being principle on every level, that on this level of Absolute Christian Science, then as we know now, we're principle at this point, infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation, yet still remaining principle. It's wonderful. And this is in concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, and being building. We love our individual Christ consciousness. We love our individual Christ mission. We love it so much that sense for the love of the principle is so great, because we can see that each one of us are needed within the plan. And therefore, we are not only the comforter at the point of love, but it brings us great comfort. We certainly aren't concerned, therefore, looking to the right or to the left and feeling, well, gee, you know, that individual light certainly must shine brighter than my light. I better go to that light for inspiration. Or maybe that light to the right isn't as bright as the light to the left. That seemed to be a little brighter light. I'll go to that for inspiration. We see how Jesus showed that he was an individual expression of the Christ consciousness. He was a great light, a great example, of course, for us all. He did let his light shine before men to glorify the principle from which he came. But he certainly didn't want anybody to call him good. He didn't want anybody to make him any greater than anyone else. He said, don't call me good, call the Father good, and greater things than these ye shall do. I go unto my Father. I'm just the way shore. Follow me. Always, always the humility of the Christ, never trying to exalt himself above others, but always indicated in the Bible that there was always that it's not my will be done, but the great humility and meekness of a Christ consciousness, knowing naturally well that he had that individual mission and a unique place within being, and that naturally he said to those, remember, on the Christ to the right or the left, I go and prepare a place for you, knowing each in my Father's house there's many mansions, and within that mansion there is a right place for you. Didn't he say to the ones on either side, knowing that he wasn't any greater than the ones hanging to either side of them, that they also had a unique place within that mansion, and that through the Christ idea they would discover what it was and what it would be. So never, ever having a sense of being greater, but always living under this law of the individual specification of the Christ. So that's wonderful. We take our whole life, our whole being, back to the system, back to laws, and let it be, we are those self-laws in operation, and love it and be it all year long. This is, of course, why we come to a summer school, just to polish up our understanding of what the universe is and what we are as the individual expression of that universe, just to go back home to glorify that in our individual careers and in our individual work. That's why, you know, as I said before the break again, and always say, that before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water happily. So we all have our individual careers, and they're all important. Every single one of them is important within being. We participate in a universe now. This is a universal science with universal laws. We aren't just participating in a little collective group that has to somehow jam oneself into collectivism to find one's role. Our role is in the universe. And we pray that comes out, what our individual mission is within the universe, which is spiraling higher and higher from a boundless basis. It is so big, the universe, and our mission is so big that we participate in that universe, in that world, and it should just make whatever our career is in that world take on greater significance and greater blessing. So it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful law to tonality build, consciousness build, till it's our very own being. All right? So we go on to the next, and on we go, and ever on to the next adventure that will tell us about our unique place value within being and everyone else's. To Christianity and Absolute Christian Science. Therefore, here again, one loves every place value. One goes through these laws, one falls in love with every single law. It's just, they're all so great. And it's wonderful that they're all there together in this holistic structure. So with this law, we come now to the law of eternalization, really that law of Christianity on the level then of Absolute Christian Science, where we have life in love. Really, no necessary accentuation. This is under the heading of life as father, love as mother. Well, this is in the age of liberation of co-parenting. Life isn't any more important than love here. It's a co-parenting of life and love to the ideational individual idea. Truth doesn't appear. Why doesn't truth appear? Would we say? All right, so the accentuation and focus is on truth itself, the individual idea, which is going to be eternalized and maintained, isn't it? Through life and love. Mary, is that what you wanted to say? Did you say something? Want to say?
Oh, I said that the truth was what was created.
Oh, it was Ellen. Ellen, that's what you were going to say. Truth has been created. We've been seeing it as an individual idea. And now consciousness takes the standpoint of the individual idea, doesn't it? That's right. Good. And therefore, the spotlight is on idea, as you see, on truth, on our individual Christ consciousness, our individual unique mission in life. And now it answers the questions, well, that's wonderful, but will that mission be maintained? Do I always have to father my mission and mother my mission to make sure that it is an eternal success? And this is no, there's this law of eternalization, this law of self-maintenance. When we concept build, we see life means to eternalize, maintain, conserve, provide, uphold, sustain, and love means to preserve, embrace, enfold, contain, nurture, care, cherish, protect. So in concept building, we see, oh, gee, well, life is eternalizing the idea, and love is preserving the idea. So in consciousness building and being building at the point of truth itself, we see, well, as the individual Christ consciousness, life is always therefore what life is creating, love is preserving. So therefore, life is always out of the infinite well of life, out of that infinite matrix of immortality on the level of science itself. That is that initial condition, that infinite well. Out of that infinite well of life being its own infinite life, that life is always operating out of its own origin, through its own channel. The outcome is always as life itself, for the glory of life itself. It's always bringing out of that infinite well of life, always, always, it's sustaining us out of that life with what? Always with the abundance of mind and its ideas. Always sustaining us with the abundance of truth and its ideas. Always sustaining us with the abundance of soul and its ideas. And the abundance of principle, life, truth, and love and its ideas. That's what we're being sustained by. Not money. But always being sustained out of that divine origin with the abundance of principle in its ideas. That is what is sustaining us. And then those ideas are always preserved. That mind and its ideas that come to us, and spirit and its ideas, and soul and its ideas, and principle and its ideas, and life and its ideas, and truth and its ideas, and love and its ideas. All of that is coming out of the infinite well of life. Everyone has access to the infinite well of life. Whether one's rich or poor, that law floods the whole universe. Everyone in the universe, including all individual man, are flooded with the abundance. It knows no limit to the creativity of mind in its ideas, the substance of spirit in its ideas, the identity of soul in its ideas, the demonstrating power of principle in its ideas, the exaltation of life in its ideas, the ideal consciousness of truth in its ideas, and the perfect plan of love in its idea, is coming and maintaining the fact that each one is programmed for success. As the individual Christ consciousness and love says, and that'll never be lost, because I preserve that out of the infinite well of the matrix of infinity. Love is saying, operating on divine science out of the origin of love itself, through the channel of love itself. The outcome is always as love itself, for the glory of love itself. And therefore, love says, don't worry. Love never loses sight of loveliness. I will always, at the point of Christianity, absolute Christian science, preserve, embrace, contain, nurture, care for the individual expression of the principle, the individual Christ consciousness, all the ideas of mind entertained in that consciousness, of spirit, of soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and will never be lost. Those creative ideas are always going to be preserved. And from that, one's career is a success, because one's career is based on these creative ideas that are always coming from the infinite well of life and preserved by love. As I say, never at the point is of its spiritualism that we look to someone or someone else for the source of our supply. For the source of our supply, whether it's for ideas that will help us in our work, or whether it's for money that will sustain us, we certainly know that because we look to the infinite well of life to sustain us, that life is always giving us new ideas for our work, and love is always preserving those ideas, and then those ideas receive a value. If it's called money, fine. If that, however the world compensates it, that's not the point. That the reward is always there. But the reward comes as an effect, not as a cause, doesn't it? So we always look for the reward from the cause, and the cause is always the infinite well of life, isn't it? Out of that infinite matrix of infinity comes principle and ideas to us, which from life, which love is always preserving and maintaining. So at this point, we see that the identity is always maintained and always preserved, always. And therefore, we say, well, then, is that form, that individual form, our individual form as the individual Christ consciousness, do we always maintain that form? And life says, yes, that form is always maintained. As going back to the level of science itself, seeing that the form is always principle being its own infinite principle. And therefore the form and consciousness of man is always maintained through the system of that principle operating on divine science, out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for the glory of itself. Therefore, the form of man is being maintained by life and preserved by love. And what is that form? The form of the individual Christ consciousness, as we see, therefore, because this is the law of spontaneity, is always the surprise of life, as I said. That the surprise of life and the adventure of love determines the scientific form of each individual Christ consciousness. We are the surprise of life that is always maintaining us, and we are the adventure of love at this form, that at this point. That's what our form is. We are the surprise of life in the adventure of love in operation. That constitutes the ideal form of man. So you see, our form now is a quality of consciousness. It's no longer associated with the physical. That is not an issue on this level. Our form is consciousness, and that form of consciousness is always outlined, always new by life, and always an adventure of love. That dictates the form of our experience, always. Therefore, we see, therefore, that this shows us that we're always in the flow of life, that life is always bringing to us out of the infinite well of life, always the flow of life, always our individual Christ consciousness, our individual experience is always in the flow of life. We don't have to feel like we're out of the stream. We're not in the flow with everyone else, that we're the odd man out or the odd ball out, however they say it, that we're always in the flow of life, and we're always therefore reaping the harvest of love. So we're always in that point where we're in the flow of life, being accepted by love. Always in the system. So we never at this point ever feel that we're outside the system. It's that law that says that we're a scientific truth, as we see now, being maintained and eternalized but within the flow of life and preserved as an adventure of love. So here we feel well maintained, well sustained, well provided for, well cared for as an individual scientific truth within the system. Again, a wonderful law answering a fundamental question we all have concerning our identity in being.